This is Smarter Collaboration. With the scale and complexity of challenges facing business and society today, knowing how to collaborate is now one of the most important skills of our time. Our host, Dr. Heidi Gardner, is the best-selling author of the book Smarter Collaboration, Harvard scholar and named by Thinkers 50 as the next generation guru. Research backed by 25 years in this field, Heidi takes you into the middle of collaborations and witnesses breakthrough results. Today's show is with Danielle Linden, Director of Marketing at Sport Clips Haircuts. With over 1,900 locations in North America, this Texas-based enterprise is one of the leading ones in the booming men's haircut sector. But Danielle is looking to build on the brand strengths and take customer loyalty to the next level. Adam Plyman, brand sonic strategist and creative director at Play Audio Agency, is Danielle's smarter collaborator. Play Audio is an award-winning full-service audio agency trusted by Fortune 500 clients. Together with Danielle's team, listen to this collaboration of marketers, sound designers, and musicians who build a cohesive audio brand strategy for sport clips with breakthrough outcome. Following their conversation, listen to the comments from Kathleen Cook, co-founder of Cook Pictures and founder of the Nonprofit Innovation Lab. Her perspective matters. Now here's Heidi, Danielle, and Adam in today's Smarter Collaboration.
Well, Danielle, Adam, thank you so much for joining us. Before we dive in, and I have so many questions about how this collaboration actually bore fruit, I really want to hear, Danielle, in your words, tell us about this campaign. How did you know you needed it? What was some of the work that went into it?
Yeah, so the backstory is that we were introducing an enhancement to the MVP haircut experience. So for those of you not familiar with the MVP, it's our signature haircut experience. So it's the hot steam towel, the massaging shampoo, the neck and shoulder treatment, and then, of course, the haircut. And the enhancement was adding this amazing custom blend and scent of eucalyptus, lavender, and chamomile to the hot steam towel. So we started having these conversations with Play Audio around, you know, how are we going to roll out this enhancement? And, you know, we were already marketing the haircut experience as very relaxing. Clients tell us this, our data shows it, but how do we take it beyond a step of just saying it? So the first thing Play Audio told us, and I'm sure Adam will want to kind of talk more about this, is they wanted to capture the entire MVP haircut experience from start to finish in an audio way, right? And so we opened up one of our Cincinnati stores early in the morning. Adam and his team came in and they recorded literally start to finish when a client walks in the door. What are the sounds that they hear? You know, they're greeted by the stylist that checks them in. They're walked back to the cutting area. They talk about the haircut. Then they walk back to the shampoo area in our showers. And then they're given the MVP experience. So they recorded the sounds of a hot steam towel, the massaging shampoo, and the actual haircut, the scissors. And so they put all this together for us in this really cool audio library. And then we started having conversations about what are we doing next. And I don't want to, undermine or talk about, you know, making it sound like it was a really easy process, because Adam and the team worked so hard to capture those sounds. So Adam, you might want to talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys went in and all the technology you used to capture like the essence of the MVP.
Yeah, absolutely. And nail on the head, Danielle. When we went into it, we didn't know. Like, so the reason we did the store experiences is we didn't know where any of this would net out. You know, we didn't know that, you know, how to truly approach launching this or activating an idea around this out to the market, but we knew we needed to learn more and we needed to figure out how it was differentiated outside of the copy points and really gain an understanding for what that differentiation really means in terms of the consumer's experience. So that's why we did the in-store experience. We did capture it binaurally. So if you think about it, it's like there's microphones like in your ears essentially. And so you're recording it. as if you're in first person. So when we listen back to it and when we take in what the experience is, we're listening to it as if we are the person in the chair. And for me, it's really nice. You know, I have no hair. And so it's nice to be able to re-experience a haircut again.
It sounds like this is smarter collaboration in action. You know, when I talk about smarter collaboration, it's bringing people together who are real experts in their domain and capturing what they know best in order to do something breakthrough together that they couldn't have done on their own. So I would love to hear your perspective. How, maybe Danielle, get us started. How did this produce some breakthrough results that wouldn't have happened without this partnership?
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of continue on with, once the sounds were recorded and we heard them, they were so amazing. And, you know, we had not heard, you know, what the massaging shampoo, and we've got the 7 pressure point massaging shampoo, and you don't necessarily hear hot steam rising from a towel, but Adam and the team went in, and Adam, I'll probably completely butcher this, but anechoic chambers, is that the right pronunciation?
Perfect.
Yeah. And so not only did they go into the store, but then there was a second step to the process where they went into these chambers and even did more recordings of these sounds, and they amplified and highlighted them. So you could actually then hear hiss, the gentle hiss of steam rising from a towel. And so all these great sounds came together. And then we started having this very collaborative conversation. We've got these great sounds. What do we do with them? What sounds are unique to Sport Clips? What are sounds that when a client hears it, they'll know, okay, someone's getting their hair cut or someone has experienced the MVP. And then really kind of the magic came when we started thinking about ASMR, which is this idea of very relaxing sounds that you might hear. And then we knew ASMR would elicit this very relaxing response in a lot of people. And we knew the MVP was doing the same. So then how do we take the sounds of the MVP and be able to create an ASMR audio spot? And so Adam and his team were so good with kind of brainstorming and working through, you know, the different sounds and kind of picking out those unique sounds to Sport Clips. And also, we started doing pre-market testing. So what are those sounds that clients wanted to hear more of and that tested well with audiences? And, you know, Adam can speak to that too. But as we went through the process, just the collaboration was incredible because we were learning about these sounds that we had never heard before, you know, and also they were testing against audiences and audiences were loving them. And it just really started to create, I mean, magic for all of us.
Yeah, and super well positioned too. Yeah. Yeah, super well positioned too. When like the ASMR, when that came up, I mean, we were kind of all, the moment we listened back to the store visit, it started to like, that started to become like a seedling of an idea. I'm like, ooh, that's kind of like this. Like, and it just kind of stayed there. No one really did anything until we had all these things. And I was like, whoa. That's great. And the moment it was brought up, you know, we went and did a little bit of learning into like what demographics, you know, are big fans of ASMR, you know, and is it off-putting? Like it's polarizing as well. I'll tell you that. Like ASMR is definitely a polarizing thing. So the pre-market testing was a big deal there. So it was that. So once we looked at the demographics and realized that they lined up really tightly with like it was a younger end of the target consumer. I was like, we should, you know, each step along the way was just a little bit closer to saying green light. But we definitely had to check ourselves. But in my mind, when things are polarizing, I don't see, you know, it's almost like it's not a straight line. It's like between love and hate, you know, love is it in one end and hate isn't at the other. They're both kind of close together. And then there's just like a whole loop of things that aren't that good. Yes. So if you end up somewhere in the middle,
you want people to be passionate about it. You don't want them to be blasé, right? And ideally it's positive and passionate about it. 100%.
Yeah. We want everyone to love it. We want everyone to love it. And if they kind of love it that or love it a lot, that's awesome. Or if they talk about it, and other people go love it, that's great too. So so everything, you know, all the pre-market testing was definitely pushing us to for, you know, towards release and towards a green light. You know, so I, you know, that was one of the big things that we made sure along the way, because it is a little risky, and it did kind of make all our palms sweat a little bit. But we were all really excited about it.
Can we just take a super quick pause for our listeners who don't know ASMR? Will you give us a super short definition to make sure we're all tracking?
Yeah, so ASMR, it stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. It's a term used to describe the tingling and like static, like goosebump sensation that you get when listening to different kind of triggering sounds. Sometimes it's like whispering, tapping on things, or like sounds that you're not used to hearing at that like kind of magnification and that close up. A lot of times they go like one side of the head or the other side of the head to kind of separate the way we listen to it. And it's fairly popular. It's fairly popular online. There's quite a kind of subsect of people who really like to listen to it.
One of the things that we thought was so awesome when we started having more of those discussions around ASMR was how much it just complemented the MVP haircut experience. So when we started picking apart things that were part of the MVP experience, like that massaging shampoo, water running is an ASMR kind of relaxing experience for a lot of people that hear it. So we thought, well, there's already water with the MVP experience. And so there's already kind of the natural pairing there. And then we had the massager, which is the neck and shoulder treatment, and hearing a gentle hum of the massager. That's also very relaxing from an ASR standpoint. And then also just this idea of, you know, steam and the hot steam towel, and just hearing certain noises that just elicit this emotional reaction, which just this, it's perfect pairing to the MVP, and just this idea of you hear a sound and it puts you into that relaxation state.
Yeah, what was nice about this is rather than telling somebody through a traditional spot that something is relaxing, you know, audio had a very specific way in this situation to let them experience it themselves versus just telling them about it. So you kind of bridge a divide, break a fourth wall a little bit.
Well, fantastic. Let's actually bring in a clip of this right now so we can all experience that sensation.
This is your mind in the middle of a regular old busy work day. And this is your mind during the MVP haircut experience, only at Sport Clips. And this.
And Heidi says, "That's fascinating audio. It felt like I was in the chair at Sport Clips."
And it seems like we are on some kind of cutting edge areas here. And whenever we're talking about innovation, something new and different, it's bound to create some friction, some pressure, some tension. Tell us one of those times, because we don't want everyone to think that, oh, collaboration is all big group hugs and everyone always gets along. Where was there some conflict in here?
I mean, I think for me, the conflict was early on in not knowing how it would resonate with audiences. And, you know, because it was a little risky and very different, we weren't sure how it would be received. And not everybody appreciates ASMR or feels, you know, like good about it. So because we were able to do pre-market creative testing, and we worked, Play Audio brought in a partner called Veritonic, which is a creative testing partner. And so we were able to test out the creative both through AI and then a real panel of survey respondents. And in doing that, we were able to really understand the different parts where we had mock scripts that were developed, and we were able to play those mock scripts both against AI and then also against the real panel of respondents. And we knew at what points the ASMR was working, what were the highlights, what were the points where, well, it really wasn't working as well. And so we took those learnings and kind of tweaked the scripts that Play Audio had developed. And that just gave us really the confidence that we knew we could bring it to the marketplace and that we were going to get the response that we wanted.
Tell us about the breakthrough results from this collaboration.
So it was really having some of the data that got you past that conflict.
Absolutely. And, you know, we got 15, you know, we saw some brand lift, 15 percentage points higher brand lift. We saw some really great attributes that came out of it for memorable, unique, relaxing. And we knew that that accomplished the goals that we wanted to.
That validates what we've been researching for the last 15 years. Bringing diverse skilled people together can accomplish initiatives that could not be done on their own. But tell us about that 15% lift. Just how good is it?
Yeah, that was a really good number. That was a really good number for us. That number really gave us the confidence to say, you know, look, our gut was this feels the right approach. This feels like the right creative message. But when we saw those numbers and we knew that that was impactful, and those numbers that we saw also across lots of different attributes were above typical retail benchmarks. So that told us that this ad is working. This ad is resonating, not just against AI, but against real, listeners. And so having all those results made us really comfortable that this is something we wanted to go nationwide with. And to that point, I did want to say, so this was all pre-market creative testing, but once we actually launched the brand creative in market, we were able to go back and do some post analysis, and this creative outperformed previous creative. And so we're able to pixel our website and with some of our streaming partners. And, you know, we had clients that were listening to ads and then they were taking actions at a higher rate than what they previously did. So we knew not only pre-market the creative performed well, but also actually in real life.
Were you able to reach out and communicate to specific consumers that took action as a result of the ad?
Well, it's anonymous on the side of the results that I get. So no, we couldn't reach out to those clients that took an action. But I can tell you that when you see creative that resonates with clients and they're taking an action, whether it's going to your website and looking at, you know, what hours your stores are open, or, you know, actually checking in for an online, you know, check-in to get your haircut. I mean, that tells us that that's where the proof is.
Adam, what did your team learn from this audio experience?
Oh, every engagement like this, there's multiple learning, right? And because I don't think, aside from like a general framework of, you know, discovery and implementation, and I don't think we approached an engagement the same ever, because it always depends on the client's needs. So. And so in this case, I mean, we've done plenty of recordings of, you know, plenty of recordings of different product sounds, and you kind of analyze, you know, if you're like listening to a mister of, like, let's say like an air freshener, most of the time, like an air freshener they don't want the sound of the liquid coming out of the canister to be the sound that they're known for. It's air, right? And so we've done things like that before, but to do a human experience was a little bit different, right? I used to do, like, back in the day, I one of my first experiments to mess with my friends is I would record something binaurally in a room and then have someone come in and interact in the room. And then I would then put headphones on someone else in the same room and play it back. And so they'd hear all these different things happen in the room, but not see any. And it really started messing with them. So that's when I realized early on in this, it would be interesting to go through and record the haircut binaurally so we could actually experience it in first person through. I had captured spaces before binaurally, but not one that, you know, that we wanted to get close up and hear things happening around a person's head. Usually you capture it binaurally to, like, understand the sound of the room and the music's playing and how loud's the audience, you know, or, you know, and get an understanding for how just the general ambience is. It isn't just like these intricate sounds that are happening near the microphones and near the head. So there was a lot of, like, technical things that we learned in doing that. We did it a few times. Our producer who sat in for the haircut got a longer haircut the first time and then shorter the second time through. and the work in the anechoic chamber also, on the technical side of that, working in an anechoic chamber is always interesting. And we took, one of the stylists from the shop that we went to joined us there, and, that's always it's always eye-opening when you get to remove the world around you from the thing that's making the sound and get to experience it for like the absolute core of what it is, that the basic of scissor cutting hair. And you're like, wow, there's a lot there that's pretty nuanced and pretty detailed. So it's always interesting to really get that deep and narrow with a brand. And you know, those learnings is something you do carry forward, right? That you the expectation, the understanding of that level of detail.
Did you have to convince people that this was a good idea?
No. I mean, luckily, we have I've got an amazing CMO, Martin Lee, and he was all in. I mean, once, you know, we started thinking about, you know, the possibilities and we really started getting excited talking with Adam and his team, we just knew that we could create some amazing creative here.
Let's go inside the Play Audio team. Tell us about the culture and the creative skill set required for this successful collaboration.
Oh, it comes with hiring. We don't hire anybody who's not a good hang, first off. That it's a cultural thing, that they have to have a curiosity. They have to have a passion for sound and music. We have, I think, what is our team? It's like 2/3 Berklee grads at this point. But no, it is that, and we're all excited. It is embedded in us to like, there is this curiosity of how do you make this next thing sound cool? And, you know, and have the leadership up top to say that, you know, it's also appropriate for the business needs. So, it could be as simple as just making sure they're a good hang, and, you know, have the credibility and track record. It's a pretty niche group, right? It's a pretty niche topic. And a niche industry to be in. So, you know, when you find folks that you want to keep around, we really work hard to keep them happy. So,
yeah, I think I would say that, you know, pretty early on for me, I felt really that Play Audio was the partner that we wanted to work with to bring the MVP to life. I always say that there's a lot of really smart people in every industry, but when you're able to connect with somebody and you have, you know, just listening to Adam talk about, you know, the passion and, you know, all the different nuances behind, you know, the audio experience. I mean, you know, that came across very early on in our conversations with Adam and his team. And I think, you know, there's so many people that you can work with, but when you find people that are really smart, that are dedicated to their craft, that bring passion and ideas and different perspectives than what you've heard, and you really want to work with them, you enjoy working with them, you know, feel comfortable asking questions, and there's a lot of back and forth, and they listen to you, and you know, they take, you know, ideas that you have and they bring it even further than what you can think of. Like, that's true collaboration and that's true partnership. And we felt that really on, like, there was a respect for Adam and his team. And I think they respected, you know, the work that we did. We respected their work. And I think, you know, just in, you know, every team member that we met from Play Audio, as you know, as we went further into our discussions with them and we started, you know, working more deeply and getting involved in the process, everyone they brought on board on the team had that same level of enthusiasm and passion and, you know, dedication to the process. And I think for me, like, that just was, you know, showing me that top down, like, that was the entire organization. And so it just made us feel very comfortable and very confident that this was the partner that we wanted to work with, again, to bring the MVP to life.
You know, trust continues to be a reoccurring theme on this series. Some collaborations have been together for 20 years and others are built overnight. I'm curious about the speed of trust and the role it plays in new collaborations. Please comment on that.
I mean, I can chime in on this one, like on the trust side of things. I don't operate under the assumption that, you know, because I know trust is earned, but I don't think we ever operate under the assumption that it's there implicitly. It's something that's, you know, that it's earned and raindrops and lost in buckets. And so from the agency side of things, you know, I, you know, Danielle, you can definitely speak for yourself, but I, you know, this has been one engagement. And we checked ourselves along the way and tested things to make sure that they were going in the right path. But, you know, I still think it's, you know, that we haven't worked on enough things, you know, after another, to be able to know, like, yes, implicitly, this is it. No, it's each time I think it's incrementally a little bit better. So, I mean, we had a good engagement. But, you know, I wouldn't expect, like, well, forever, they're going to believe us. Like, no, like, it's, you know, that's not the way it works. It's every single time you have to prove and reprove to make sure that it's the right thing to do. So I, you know, my take on trust is it's incremental over a period of time. And, you know, but those increments are something that you have to definitely pay attention to each time. If you want to stay in business.
Yeah. I think that's a great way of stating it, Adam, because I think early on, you know, I enter relationships with the idea of everyone's going to bring their best selves to it, right? Everyone wants to, you know, have a success. Everybody wants to, you know, push something forward. Everybody wants to do their best work. But along the way, you know, you're always kind of, there's little, you know, measurement, right? There's little things that you're learning about the brand, you know, how they show up, you know, every conversation you have, you know, are they present? Are they focused? Are they bringing new ideas? Are they telling you something that you hadn't thought about before? You know, when someone's showing up fully. And I think like everything else in life, every relationship, you're always nurturing it. You're always growing it. And if you don't, it just doesn't, you know, move forward. And I think, you know, every single time, you know, we had a conversation or, you know, some work was done and they came back to us with, you know, to show us, well, this is the script or, you know, this is what the testing showed, or here's the library of sound. It was an over delivery. So we're like, wow, you know, we didn't expect that. That was more than what we thought we would get, you know. And I even know in our scope of work early on, Adam, it was just for one 30-second spot. And then you came to us with you brought to us five different scripts and we said, like, these two scripts we love. Can we produce these two scripts? We had a scope for only one. And you said, yeah, we'll make it happen. So along the way, you didn't say, no, we're going to hold you to just that one script. You said, we love the work. We love the partnership. We're going to let you and bring it to fruition. So we're going to have two 30-second spots delivered. And that made a huge difference for us. That showed us that you're going above and beyond. And like, to me, that's a partnership over delivery.
What are the next steps with this collaboration?
I think the first is to think with your ears. From a branding standpoint, we know what we visually look like, but when the screen's turned off, how are they going to know it's you? That's probably my biggest takeaway right now. There's plenty of audio-only platforms that are very smart platforms and different ways to serve up that creative, you know? So, you know, the next point will probably be make sure to have multiple pieces of creative in market that cater directly in context to who your listener is and where they are and what they're doing. You know, having an ad play via a home assistant in the morning should sound different than an ad that's playing in the afternoon in a car. Those are two different places. We know typically we have the analytics to understand who those people are and what they like to listen to. We should serve up something that's, you know, that's appropriate to them. You know, that's a treat versus a message.
I mean, we have learned a whole lot through this entire process. And, you know, I think for us, it really becomes clear that we really need to keep embracing all this new technology and all this ability to pre-market test creative and to once we bring it to the marketplace to look at the results and the performance, tweak it, make it better, improve it. You know, the market landscape continues to evolve and change just at the most incredible rapid pace. And I think for a long time, audio was a little bit kind of like behind the scenes. It really took a little bit of time for audio measurement to catch up. But now that it's here and available, we want to continue tapping into it and producing great creative. And also just think of ways that we can continue to, you know, bring that MVP experience to life. Like, we know it's relaxing. We get excited thinking about it. We know not all of our clients get excited about a haircut. Some of them consider it a chore. So how do we make it, you know, something that's not just productive for them, but something that's incredibly enjoyable? And how does that come across in our creative?
And that's a wrap on this Smarter collaboration. Thank you to SportClip's Director of Marketing, Danielle Linden, and Play Audio's Brand Sonic Strategist, Adam Plyman.